another edition of the College Gridiron Showcase Watch List Show, tracking the top NFL draft prospects on the planet each and every week, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible, broadcasting around the globe with your hosts, Joe Everett, Justin Gamble, and me, the RIT, Rick Saratella. We are on air.
Ooh, getting to the nitty gritty, baby. It's your host, RIT, and a place to be here for the College Gridiron Showcase Watch List Show, our sixth episode of the season already, and exhibition season has just begun. We got preseason action. We got NFL training camps. We have the college football tour. Shout out to Wagner College for having us earlier in the training camp. We'll be at Monmouth University College down there with their new facility tomorrow. Of course, the NFL training camp tour continues, and we will have Joe Everett, the director of college football scouting, to break down all the offense and defensive line prospects for the upcoming 2018 NFL draft. Justin Gamble unable to join us today, but guess what, guys? He'll be back on a special Monday broadcast. We'll be breaking down all the edge rushers and linebackers for the 2018 NFL draft. Of course, we'll discuss who could potentially receive all-star game invites, not just for the College Gridiron Showcase, but across the all-star circuit. And today we're going to have both co-founders from the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, our fourth year now as we get ready for the upcoming season. Of course, 30 of the 32 NFL teams down in Texas last year. Hopefully we'll have all 32 this year. Over 130 NFL scouts all together. It's the first pit stop. It kicks off the NFL draft season, as a matter of fact. And our guy Corin Brooks from the University of Texas Permian Basin signing with the Giants this week, which brings our total up to 89 players in NFL training camp. So let's welcome him into the show, the co-founders of the College Gridiron Showcase. First off, we have Jose Jefferson. How are we doing today, Jose?
Good. How are you?
And Craig Redd also joins us. Rarely do we get both of the gentlemen on the line, but I know you guys were in Addison, Texas, the new home of the College Gridiron Showcase. Craigie, how are we doing today? A little jet lag there? Yeah, we got some jet lag on Craigie, but it's all good, fellas. Let's talk about it. Let's be about it. First off, Jose, lots of going-ons, lots of people trying to get on board and be involved with the College Gridiron Showcase at our new home, Addison, Texas, January 6th through the 10th. And we haven't plugged the website yet, cgsallstar.com. If you haven't made your reservations, you want to find out more info, you want to nominate a player, make sure you get on board there. But, Jose, talk to us about the trip down in Texas.
It was awesome. I mean, I drove, so, I mean, it was extremely long for me. But I was excited, you know, going, obviously, the synergy of a new place, and then I was excited going home from what we've, you know, what we came across. But the hotel is beautiful. I mean, compared to where we were, and nothing against where we were, but it is definitely an upgrade. The space is an upgrade. It just gives a different appeal of what we're trying to accomplish. So I was definitely impressed with all that. We went to Green Hill School, which is a humongous campus for for such a smaller school. It is, and they were great. And it seemed like once we got there on Friday, we're on back-to-back meetings from Friday all the way to Sunday evening till about 7:30, 8 o'clock. So it was not a vacation by any stretch of the word, and we were going bell to bell. But it's going to be something. I'm very excited about it, and the prospects of between that and how the documentary is going to be filmed in that area, and how they're going to, you know, catch some behind the scene things. They're going to catch the practices, the way the field is set up. We're going to be able to get some great film, and it's wide open. So it's a new day, you know, it really is. And so I'm glad that we're there.
Jose Jefferson, Craig Redd, co-founders of the College Gridiron Showcase. And Craig, let me open up your microphone this time, and then that way you can have the floor. But how about the thoughts of and impressions, Craig? Because I know last year the event kind of seemed to outgrow itself with, you know, all the scouts and the agents and the football industry and the seminars and everybody congregating in the hotel. I think, you know, it was a little bit of tight quarters, so I'm glad to hear the hotel is going to be able to accommodate plenty of space. Again, January 6th through the 10th, if you didn't book your reservations yet. But, Craig, thoughts and impressions of the new College Gridiron Showcase home?
Love it. We definitely outgrew where we were last year, and that's a good thing. We just naturally, organically outgrew it. Where we are right now, I don't see us outgrowing for a while. What we did notice is with all the extra things that we're adding, with all the extra space, we want more. We're actually contacting the hotel to get more space just because there's so many things that we're trying to do, so many things that we are going to be doing for this year. We're like, hey, we might need more space. So we're actually trying to grab more space. So it's going to be fantastic.
Well, one of the things we did last year was scour a ton of talent, Jose. We had heated debates in terms of who should be invited, and it was tough decision-making. Nearly 100 guys in the camps. But I think one place or one area where we did succeed in terms of scouting was on that offensive line. We saw two players from this year's College Gridiron Showcase get selected in the NFL draft, and a handful of guys here making their NFL debut last night on preseason, a whole bunch of games on the docket tonight. But thoughts of impressions from some of these CGS alumni on the offensive line side of the ball?
No, they're making us look smarter than what we actually are. You know, which is a good thing. But I like you said, I mean, this is what we're specializing in. That's how come we are who we are. We're not, it's not hard to look at Miles Garrett from Texas A&M and say, yeah, he's going to be a, you know, 10, 12, 14 year player, potential all pro every year. You can see that. We want to, you know, structure our event around the guys who we put out. I mean, we were just talking right before we got on the air about Jacob Hollister, you know, players like that, you know, Jalen Ware. I mean, that is thoroughly my passion with this is getting those guys. And I think so far, like you said, the players with CGS, you know, Matt Breda, you know, with the 49ers. I mean, we are doing what we're supposed to do, and hopefully, you know, their success is our success, and hopefully that'll bring more success for everybody involved.
And you take a look at the diversity, because I firmly believe we are by far the most diverse all-star event out there. And you take a look at the guys who got selected, Jalen Ware and Brad Seaton from Alabama State and Villanova. But then you got guys in camp from the SEC, Brandon Cubano. You got guys from Arizona State, Freddie Tagliabue. You got guys from Purdue in the Big Ten, Jason King. Then you go down to the FCS level. We got guys like Mark Spellman from Illinois State and Landon Leckler from North Dakota State. But, Craig, on the defensive side of the ball, you know, I thought the trench warfare was my favorite part of the week, because we had such a variety of guys. And, you know, taking a look now at the defensive side of the ball, Craig, Chris Odom coming out of Central Arkansas. Then you got Shakir Soto from Pittsburgh, Corey Vereen from Tennessee, Rashawn Coward from Old Dominion, Casey Sales from the MAC Conference, Adam Butler from Vanderbilt, Andre Pitkins from Texas Tech. I mean, this is what it's all about. And you just heard me rattle off the names. Those are all players just from this past year's event, Craig, in NFL camp, getting ready
for
preseason games. Chris Kasher.
Don't forget Chris Kasher out of Faulkner. You know, I mean, NAIA, we're hitting it all. It doesn't matter. It's not where you play, it's how you play. That's why the tagline is there.
We're
scouring every place we can to find the right players that deserve that opportunity. And they're making us look good, as Jose said.
And, you know, we're getting ready for the College Football Roadshow, brought to you by NFL Draft Bible and College Gridiron Showcase. Of course, I'll be kicking off the season August 26th on location, Hawaii, at UMass. And we talked about Adam Brenneman, a tight end, last week on the show that we'll be scouting on. And, guys, We're going to get Joe Everett in here on a second, but before we wrap it up and let you go, Craig, I'll start it off with you. Any hot takes, latest news, parting shots that we want to hit the people with here before we wrap it up?
We're just trying to close out some more big sponsors that we'll be bringing to you in the upcoming weeks. Stay tuned for the updated watch list that should be coming out probably in the next week and a half. We'll hit it right before the start of the college season. So, if you haven't gotten your nominations in yet, hit us with them. We're going to be looking, but I think we have about another 300 names coming at everyone in the next week and a half.
CGSAllStar.com for that. It's not too late. Of course, Jose, we got the documentary coming this year. Craig mentioned sponsorship opportunities. You can email info@collegegridironshowcase.com, I believe.
Info@CGSAllStar.com.
Emails, my man. And Jose, as Craig said, sponsorship opportunities, documentary coming on board if anybody wants to get a hold of you guys. But any parting shots for the people out there? Any latest comings and goings with the CGS?
We're just working. We're taking your tagline, can't stop, won't stop. We got to get this thing right. But it's exciting, and it's going to be exciting for anybody that's going to be involved in this year. And I can tell you, just as every year, we're going to continue to talk about how good the players are going to be, and we're going to work hard to get the best players that we can, and we're trying to make our name, just as these players are. So it's going to be huge. I'm excited for it.
That's our word, guarantee. Jose Jefferson, Craig Redd, College Gridiron Showcase co-founders, we thank you for the time, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Not too often we get both of the big kahunas on the phone line at the same time, and they're fresh off the trip down there in Addison, Texas. Once again, Jose Jefferson, Craig Redd, those are the guys you want to contact if you're interested in sponsorship opportunities, you want to get involved with what's going on down there in Addison, Texas. Of course, my co-host is certainly involved. He never leaves a stone unturned. He's the director of college football scouting for the NFL DraftBible.com. And hey, don't panic, everybody. I've been getting hit with the text and emails about the website being down. Well, you guys crashed it on us. It's been a fun time of year, exciting time of year, busy time of year, and we've gotten so much traffic, we had to switch the servers. We should be up and running. If we're not back up and running right now, we should be up and running any moment now. And, of course, the college NFL Draft Bible prospectus will be available there on the NFLDraftBible.com. Of course, this guy helped put it together along with myself, so you can get that, the top 100 scouting reports, player rankings, 2020 vision, who the top players in the NFL are for the year 2020, and, of course, our FCS big board rankings and projections. He is Joe Everett. He is the star of the show. We welcome him in now. We thank him for waiting patiently on the Defiance Fuel Hotline. How are we doing, Joe?
Doing great. I can't believe it's already here. I mean, we are 15 days until the opening of college football, so I'm fired up. That's just 2 weeks away.
2 weeks from the season, 5 weeks from the College Gridiron Showcase. It's unbelievable. January 6th through the 10th, CGSAllStar.com. Joe, we're going to talk linemen today. We broke it down a little bit differently. Of course, Justin Gamble couldn't make the show today. We're going to have him back on Monday to do a special edge rusher linebacker preview show. And then, Joe, sometimes we make up plans right here on the air live. We'll come back, Joe. You and I will do a defensive back. We'll combine the cornerbacks and safeties, just so you know. But today, O-line and D-line, we're leaving the pass rushers out of it on the defensive side of the ball. We're talking 34 defensive ends and interior linemen. But let's break it down on the offensive linemen first. We had Jose Jefferson and Craig Redd, co-founders of the 4th Annual College Gridiron Showcase. You were listening. A plethora of offensive linemen right now in training camp, in preseason action. Thoughts of impressions, any guys we didn't cover there in the opening segment? A lot of different directions we can go there.
Oh, yeah, I mean, start off with our two big guys, Jalen Ware, Bradley Seaton, Just, you know, elated when they got selected first off, but seemed to be doing well. Like more than anything, just stay healthy. Shout out and pour one out to Raquan McMillan, Miami Dolphins. Looks like he's got a torn ACL, but it's a dangerous time of year, the preseason. So I'm just happy a lot of our boys are still standing right now. Guy, I'm going to be looking at that. He's just a UDFA. Mason Zandi, that fit, I think, for the Chargers. They like just big kind of thugs in the middle that will knock you out in a phone booth and murder you. And that's kind of Zandi's MO. I think he fits in with the style of play over there. And losing Forrest Lamp, speaking of injuries, you know, another torn ACL to a very highly touted lineman there. So they're going to need someone to step in. Maybe it's Dan Feeney. Maybe Zandi gets in there just because of the numbers game now that's shuffled in his favor.
Yeah, San Diego hit with some bad luck, or should I say L.A.? I can't keep up with it anymore. But Mason Zandi, a knee bender. Yeah, I mean, I was writing down the abbreviations today for Casey Sales and the Rams, you know, L.A.R. You got to get these abbreviations down, Pat. But Mason Zandi, you said it, Joe. This guy just grew on me throughout the week, a knee bender, a waist bender. Despite being like 6'8", 6'9", this guy can get low, get low. And a couple guys grew on me throughout the week. I think Jason King was a guy out of Purdue that's over with the Patriots. And you mentioned Bradley Seaton from Villanova, a hot commodity there. Tennessee, one of the best offensive lines in the league, in my opinion. And they got another guy, Mark Spellman from Illinois State, a guy who I think is going to be a valuable backup at the interior positions, can play center, can play both guard spots. And then Landon Leckler, a guy from North Dakota State, was initially on the select squad. They bumped him up to the all-star squad, held his own, probably, you know, more of a right tackle prospect there for the Bengals. And, you know, I don't know about you, but two of my favorite players, Joe, throughout the week, I mean, just watching Freddie Tagaloa walking through the hotel during the week and just, you know, having to kind of like duck while he walks through the hallway or else his head would just hit the ceiling. He's in camp with the Vikings. And then Brandon Cublano, an undersized center with the Ravens here. The Ravens, another team dealing with some death blows and injuries so far early on. But Joe Cublano, a guy who just constantly got under people's skin, constantly was playing the mental games and disrupting people, throwing them off their game there, that Brandon Cublano on one-on-one drills.
What I liked about Cublano is you could hear him. You know, the pads really got popping and you had to turn your head and say, who's knocking people around there? And is that Georgia helmet? Rocking and romping. The one that I'm glad you brought up Tagaloa, just to share, like, I had an elevator ride with this guy, just talked to him, like, man, you look great out there, blah, blah, blah. Damn, this is an NFL player. Standing next to him, it's just a total giant and another good team fit. If he could just hang in there with the Vikings, this is a franchise that's just not had good fits at the tackle position. They've had a lot of failed experiments there, and they're looking for new faces. So, and Leckler, I was banging the table all week for Mr. Landon Leckler, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of good feedback from NFL scouts throughout the week on Leckler. Now, let's turn our attention. We'll come back to the defensive side of the ball, Joe. Let's turn our attention to the offensive line prospects here coming up for the 2018 NFL draft. We'll talk about those offensive tackle prospects first, and then we'll break down the interior linemen. But, you know, tier one guys here at the offensive tackle position, pride of New Jersey, Mike McGlinchey over there at Notre Dame. This guy is just a mauler. He bleeds football. We have him ranked as our number three offensive tackle prospect in the nation, regardless of draft class. And then I know you appreciate seeing this guy up there from Western Michigan, number eight offensive tackle in the country, which puts him in the first round mix, Joe. Or you tell us, the big 6'6", 330-pounder, Chukwuma Okorafor. I butchered that one up, but
nice.
Here who's got plenty of starting experience. You talked about the Western Michigan running back a couple shows back. This guy's up front paving the way.
Oh, yeah, and he's got these just natural soccer skills. He got the football late. I think he's only been playing 6 years, I think the Republic of Botswana. So this is why he's got the funny, but I think you nailed the name. So what you like about him is there's potential to play left because of those feet, because of that balance and just the natural athleticism of playing soccer, I think, all his life. He's had to get a lot of weight moving at once. So I think the upside for Okorafor is through the roof, a much better prospect than Taylor Moten from last year, from the same program. But he's been a big reason. You know, these backs, Jarvion Franklin, Jamaria Bogan, they're all cranking out 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns, and it's no accident. The offensive line there has been really good in Kalamazoo. And then just McGlinchey, you said it all. I mean, that is a big nasty. If anybody fits the definition, I love the single bar down the middle of the face mask as well. And when you're getting a Notre Dame offensive lineman, you're getting a prodigy, a student of Harry Highstand, who has produced just countless NFL, Zach Martin, Ronnie Stanley, Nick Martin. Hopefully he could stay healthy. But I love the teaching, love the coaching. And, yeah, that kid, he's going to be a starter. Maybe it is just at a right tackle, but who cares? I think you're getting a 10-plus year pro in McGlinchey.
Yeah, you know, when you're rocking the Bart Oates face mask, that says something.
Yeah.
but, you know, just curious, Joe, you mentioned Okorafor, you know, he actually started off as a kicker because, like you said, the soccer background in high school. Is there separation, in your opinion, McGlinchey, you know, heavily in the first round mix, Okorafor maybe on the outside looking in, or do you see these guys as similar prospects?
No, I think Okorafor may be just behind him. I mean, it could be a situation they show up at the combine and all of a sudden, you know, this Okorafor has just got an unreal 40 time, or he just really does have a broad jump or a vertical leap that it's like, bro, he just vertical leaped 38 inches? Really? And then that may change some things. But, no, I think McGlinchey is he's kind of a bona fide first-rounder, got the pedigree, and whereas Okorafor, maybe, I think you said it best, kind of on the outside looking in, maybe he's a high-grade second-round pick. But, yeah, I definitely think we're talking about a top 100 player.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Joe, because I think we saw maybe two offensive linemen selected in the draft in the first round this past year, and that was a conversation that I had with Brian Baldinger. You can find that on our YouTube channel or the NFLDraftBible.com. You know, just the spread style of offenses, you know, people are talking about the regression or the lack of progression that the quarterbacks and receivers make in a spread style type of offense. Well, the same goes for the offensive linemen, and NFL teams are having difficulty now finding top tier offensive line prospects. So just one senior offensive tackle that we have in the first round mix that is in heavy consideration with McGlinchey. How about some under the radar guys, some guys that maybe are not getting the mainstream publicity, but will be come April?
So my favorite lineman, and pretty much, well, it's tough, but I'd have to give it to Mason Cole, Michigan. I don't care if it's a center. He's moved back to tackle this season. I think he could play all three positions. It just doesn't matter. This big kid from Florida, he jumped right in as a true freshman, started at left tackle for the Wolverines, played two seasons there before moving to center last year just because they wanted to get some other guys' tryouts. And now moving back to tackle, that just – shows the confidence they have. And this is, it's a little interesting thing about him. He's an Iron Man. He has a streak dating back to high school of 91 consecutive games started, which will continue this year as a senior. So not only is he reliable, he's technically sound, totally versatile. I look at him as kind of a fallback player, a throwback player like Jeff Fain from Notre Dame, the way he used to be. Yeah. Just a real dominant player, and then just technically sound. And I truly believe Fain could have played out at tackle, could have played at guard. Maybe he's reminiscent of a Zach Martin, where you could just slide him anywhere you need a player. And I don't know that he's a first-round pick, but he's another guy. If he's not in the top 100, I'm just not paying attention to the right parts of football, because that's a guy I don't think you got to do a ton of teaching. I think an offensive line coach is going to embrace him, and he immediately steps in at one of your starting five, no matter where you have a need. So that just screams value in the NFL drafts. Mason Cole, why did you not go to Notre Dame? You would have fit in perfectly at South Bend, but he's done well for himself in Ann Arbor. No complaints there. So I think he's definitely right up. He needs to be brought to the conversation. Then I don't know if he's a tackle or a guard, but the Braden Smith kid at Auburn, he's another just kind of dominant player. He was an All-American. I think he's more of a guard at the next level, but just solid athlete. He's the guy in the phone booth that's real dangerous. He's going to make it a long day and bloody up your nose. So I think I don't know about him in pass protection. It's not a lot of what Auburn does. They're just that zone read. They love to run the ball. So Braden Smith's about to get some good footage, I think, in pass pro this year. Just, you know, that addition of Jarrett Stidham, they're going to have to throw the ball. Otherwise, why'd you go out and get the kid? So he'll be able to put some nice things on film this year. And that's another, I think Smith, he's up in that conversation, maybe just second round pick, day two player.
Yeah, definitely some good names worth storing in the memory bank. Mason Cole, Joe, you said it. You know, to me, this guy is the top center prospect in the country. Some people are going to like him at offensive tackle. You talk about the versatility, but there has been a trend here in the NFL turning some of these tackles into centers. You saw it as recently as Ali Marpet. There was another kid out of Missouri, I think, Mitch something did the same. Rodney Hudson was a guy out of Florida State that's made a living at center playing tackle for the Seminoles. But, you know, in terms of under the radar, not too many times you talk about an Ohio State player that's under the radar. But Jamarco Jones, I think, is a guy just only because he only started one season. He sat 2 years behind Taylor Decker, a guy that's really, when you hear the coaching speak about him, has really made strides in his overall technique, has over 1,000 career snaps at that offensive line there for the Buckeyes, and a guy who I think is really going to be in heavy consideration as a day two pick, early second round guy. You know, who knows, maybe with the stellar season, he could sneak into the first round. But Jamarco Jones, a guy with just 1 year starting experience coming into the season, that you should definitely make note of. And then at the offensive tackle position at the FCS level, if you caught our show last week, Brandon Parker from North Carolina A&T, he's our number 24th ranked offensive tackle in the country, regardless of draft position, which means what? Which means he's very much in consideration to get drafted here. He's in the mix. North Carolina A&T, Brandon Parker, you know, Tariq Cohen, you might have saw him last night with the Bears running the football. Well, here's the guy paving the way. Multiple, you know, all-conference performer, very run-oriented, run-mauler type of offensive tackle there. But Brandon Parker there in the FCS, Joe, I don't know if you had any FCS guys that stand out for you on the tackle or interior position, but Brandon Parker, to me, is probably our top-rated FCS guy.
Yeah, and it's rare you can get a lot of footage on an FCS kid, but it's like, hey, cue up all the Tariq Cohen videos. You got your Brandon Parker footage right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good-looking tackle. I mean, he uncoils real well, and he's pretty explosive. I'd like to see him finish some more blocks and kind of use that. I'm hoping this year he really gains some more functional strength, you know, trims it up a little bit. Because, like I say, prototype tackle body you like to see. And, with all the videos I've seen out there at Cohen, he definitely sticks out. He's like, boy, he looks like an NFL lineman for sure. I've got one other small school guy who just, you know, watching the run last year, James Madison, those Dukes, some good players over there. And their left tackle, it was just his first year as a guy, kind of perfect for this show because we're doing defensive linemen, defensive tackles, offensive tackles. Well, this guy played both of those, Aaron Steine. I'm not sure how his name's pronounced, but I'm going to say what he has made that transition seamlessly. Really good coaching by Mike Houston there. Very explosive athlete, and another guy that I love him in the run game, but he also stands up to pass rushers. It doesn't matter if it's a bull rush. And another guy, just real basketball background there, and it shows off kind of in his play. I mean, just he does some things just real naturally in his back pedal and pass pro. So that's a guy, just James Madison, not only is the program on the up, this Aaron Stine, boy, he's a player.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up, Joe, because we're trying to get him on this week, as a matter of fact. So keep it locked. Stay tuned. Follow us on NFL Draft Bible, at NFL Draft Bible. Of course, here on Blog Talk Radio, we're now on iTunes. But Brandon Parker, you can catch, has already been archived. Aaron Stinney, on the way. Stay tuned. Let's switch gears to interior lineman, Joe. We'll keep it with the FCS and under the radar guys. We'll work in reverse order here. And just on the FCS theme, you know, two guys, you mentioned the James Madison program. You mentioned the Richmond quarterback on our first or second show. Well, the Richmond offensive lineman, Alex Light, I think he plays offensive tackle for the Spiders, but probably a guard prospect at the next level. Of course, three consecutive FCS playoff berths there. Just make it four in a row for that Richmond football program there. And then Justin Leah from Jacksonville State, Alex Light coming in at number 23 guard, and Justin Leah from Jacksonville State, our number 23rd overall guard here in the country. And then one other note from the FCS level, Larry Allen Jr., I'm not sure of his status. We had him right there at number 25 guard in the country. Not expected to play this year from last time I checked. The reason not given, we will be at a Harvard game this year, so we'll provide an update. But Larry Allen Jr. was on the NFL radar heading into his senior season. Not expected to play this year. We'll get an update from him. But any other FCS guys, Joe, on the interior position? If not, we can move on to under the radar guys.
No, I've got under the radar. Interior, and I just, before we even, you know, go anywhere, my second favorite center, I guess, or offensive lineman in the country, I'd have to say, T-John Caroma. That this guy showed up as a true freshman and beat out the returning starter at center and a Remington Trophy watch list member. I mean, just winning that job as a true freshman, not only that, he plays, I think, every single snap at center to that day to now. Basically, he's been an institution there at BYU, finally a senior this year. I think the first game I remember was that bowl game against Memphis. He was a true freshman and real high-scoring, back-and-forth game. But this Caroma throws people around. He is violent. He plays with a real chip on his shoulder. And he plays not only to the whistle. Oftentimes, he plays after the whistle. He just so desperately wants to finish his man off. And for me, that screams, like, please play for my team. Please be an offensive lineman on my franchise, because that's for me, the reason to play in the game. I mean, you want to win every rep, and that's Caroma. He might be the reason that game got out of hand. I think there was some kind of epic brawl, if I remember right. But, yeah, Caroma's a gladiator. I just would love to see him in a zone scheme, because he doesn't have prototype height, but he's got great mobility, super smart, real violent. He'd be a perfect fit. Green Bay, I'm calling you out. Take a look at Mr. T-John Caroma, roommate of Jamal Williams, who you already have on the roster. Just saying, might be a good fit. Jake Campos, Iowa State. I know he's an offensive tackle. He may transition to guard. He's back from injury. That's just another big, tough kid that I like. And then I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't bring Washington State's Cody O'Connell up to the forefront here. I mean, this guy is just a giant, 6'8", 354 pounds, all Pac-12, as a junior last year. A plug ugly, man grown. He's going to play guard. I just don't think he has the mobility to get on the outside and play tackle and cover edge rushers. But, boy, he's going to win in the run game. And once again, we talked about a team like the Chargers, team like the Cowboys that really like that ground and pound and just power blocking schemes. This Cody O'Connell would appeal to them greatly. He may even be a top 100 player just because, you know, you don't find giants like that on the planet.
Yeah, you know, when you take a look at these mid-tier interior offensive line prospects, there's some talent if you do some digging. I know one guy I had a chance to see up close and in person several times is Michigan State's Brian Allen. You know, I've seen him once play center. I've seen him play guard. I think this is a guy that people are sleeping on, you know, probably not a day one guy, but a guy that I believe is going to be a future starter at the next level. Does he go day two? Does he go day three? I don't know where he goes, but Brian Allen out of Michigan State is going to be a steal for somebody. I'm going on the record right now and telling you that. You know, Kirk Ferentz, we all know what he's done there at Iowa and the pedigree of offensive linemen that you get. Sean Welsh is a guy to me. You know, I think he is another guy that comes in, competes for a starting job at that center position from day one, a four-year starter for the Hawkeyes, and a guy that is very technically sound, very polished overall. And one last guy under the radar, TCU, Austin Schlottman. You know, I've watched this guy. He rarely misses assignment. He's calling out, adjustments before the ball snap, a run mauler type of guy, maybe a little bit undersized, maybe in that Brandon Tublano kind of mode. But Austin Schlottman from TCU is my under-the-radar interior lineman. And then, you know, Joe, in terms of top-tier guys, you know, I don't know if we have a first-round prospect. Mason Cole, maybe, if he's viewed as a center, but Billy Price from Ohio State, for me, probably our top rated interior offensive lineman. We have him ranked as the number fifth overall offensive guard prospect in the country, regardless of draft class. How do you see the top interior offensive line prospects?
Yeah, is in terms of seniors, I think, yeah, Price is up there. Might even be on the door knocking into the first round, depending on how it goes. Maybe plays a little center this year, raises value. I don't know about Cody O'Connell, who I brought up, might be in the conversation. The other guy, the center, I think has got a lot of appeal is Frank Ragnow, Arkansas. Played a lot of football there, and the scheme would translate really well to power block, and that's what a lot of teams run anyways. But once again, how valuable centers are in the long run, like in those top 100, the switch turns to round two and three and those contracts change. Teams are just like loaded up on defensive players. So it is difficult to get fit in there as a top 100 player.
All right, Joe, we talked offensive line. It's time for defensive line. It's the big ugly show here, the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium. You got two for the price of one today. We gave you both College Gridiron Showcase founders. We had Jose Jefferson and Craig Redd. We got Joe Everett breaking down offense and defensive line as we get you up to par here, counting you down to the kickoff. August 26th will be on location, Hawaii at UMass. Of course, NFL preseason action tonight. And let's talk some defensive linemen, Joe. You know, I had the pleasure of breaking down a lot of these defensive prospects here for the prospectus. And, you know, tier one guys on the defensive line, I would say probably, you know, we saw star Lotulelei come out a couple years and see what kind of mayhem he's created with Kawan Short in Carolina there. Lotulelei, our number three defensive tackle prospect in the nation, someone who I believe will probably wind up in the first round. I didn't quite see a first round talent on film, in my opinion, but I do think he does go in that first round mix. And Deshaun Hand, whether he's going to be viewed as a defensive tackle, a defensive end, a 34 defensive end, at 6'3", 280 pounds, he could probably slim down or bulk up and go in a number of different directions. But those were, you know, kind of how I saw the tier one prospects on the defensive line units. What did you see?
No, I agree, especially about Hand. And you can open my eyes about the athleticism he's got. When he shows up in Indianapolis, there may be a few fireworks, no doubt about it. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up his recent DUI. Of course, that'll be a little bit of a red flag, but I think still he – he falls into the first round conversation. And also, like the fit you mentioned, I think he's 34 defensive end all day. You know, even at his natural walking around weight, like that's just kind of where he lies in. And Lotulelei, yeah, it's, maybe he's getting drafted in the first round on pedigree, but he's a guy I don't see as a premium first round. I'm not top 20 or anything. I'm seeing him eat up a lot of space, but athletically, I don't know that he's hyper or anything special, kind of stocky, short build. He plays his butt off, there's no doubt. It's just, yeah, maybe he's just a fringe first rounder more than anything.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see as the season unwinds, because he's at 6 foot one and a half, 320 pounds. You know, just not as impressive as his brother, that's all. But definitely a worthwhile talent. How about under the radar guys, Joe? Who do you got for us?
Well, I don't know how under the radar he is, but Maurice Hurst, I guess he could have been in the NFL, but maybe he just would have been a day three pick. I think he wisely, Hurst chose to return to Michigan, and I actually like what I saw. Watched that Ohio State game, damn near all of it, and it just really got off some blocks quickly. He's playing in an NFL scheme right now under Don Brown at Michigan. I love some of the things they do, and it really gives him a chance to show off his athleticism with those stunts and those little twists they run, just the front four. They scheme those guys so nicely, and he really gets going on around from the tackle spot out to a wide nine and back into JT Barrett for a sack. I mean, I don't know many people at that weight that can do that. So I like what I saw at Hurst. He really fights through double teams, and he keeps his eye on the quarterback and uses those long arms he's got twice in that Ohio State game, just batted passes down. I think maybe that's the situation. He just took it up for that contest. But from what little I've seen of Hurst so far, I've liked it a lot. And then the specimen at Florida State, Derek Nnadi, I'm not sure what he is, but dominant player, just a real savage with strong hands on the inside, risen from the JUCO ranks. He's a guy that, he's going to have to fit in the top 100 somewhere just because you have to force a double team on him. And then one more under the radar just before. I like what I saw last year out of Andrew Brown out of Virginia. I think the guy was just being wasted. He's a big recruit out of high school and just finally showed some flashes. He spent too much time in Mike London's doghouse, which I can only assume is a crappy doghouse since Mike London probably bought it. But bottom line, Brown is a guy, he's got some real power. He anticipates the snap count really well, and it's just another violent big man. I think he's another five technique. He's going to be that 34 end that really finds his way. He's showed some skills as a pass rusher, and so what if he's not going to be a first rounder like he could have been coming out? But I think a team is going to find a real value with Andrew Brown. Maybe it's day three, who knows? But I think he looks to me like a poor man's Robert Nkambiche. That is when Nkambiche's light bulb was turned on.
Yeah, good analogy. I agree. And he just snuck into the bottom of that top 100 overall prospects in the country. So when you say flashes, you mean it, Joe. He showed some potential there, and he's got to put it all together now and have a nice consistent season here, and he'll be underway. But we're talking under the radar. And for me, you know, everybody wants to talk about Vita Vea over there at Washington, and, you know, I think he's in our top five overall rankings at the defensive tackle position. But when you go down that list over at number 19, we got a guy, Greg Gaines, who I thought had a bust out season last year there for Washington, 6 foot one, 325 pounds. And, you know, he did a little bit of everything, 35 tackles last year, 8 tackles for loss, 3.5 sacks, showing the ability to be a little bit of a backfield disruptor, 20 career starts, I think, with another solid season. He could really position himself into getting drafted this year. And then Drew Bailey from Louisville. How about the number 21 ranked defensive end? Again, very similar situation where, you know, teams might view him as a defensive end. Other teams might want to kick him inside. Probably a 34 defensive end at 6 foot five, 285 pounds, big physical run stopper. 58 tackles this past year and 9 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. Should test pretty well. Sub 5.0 speed at 6'5", 285 pounds. Look out for Drew Bailey. And then the last player I'm going to talk about here today, Joe, is down at the FCS level. PJ Hall from Houston, our number 23rd ranked defensive tackle, but, you know, I circled back around to him and have studied up on this player. I think he might be moving up our boards at 6'1". He's now up to 310 pounds. He's bulked up 25 pounds. And, you know, if you're looking for production, Sam Houston State, I might have said Houston, but it's Sam Houston State. And, you know, at the FCS level, you look, you know, what's one of the things you look for? You look for players to dominate. And in 3 seasons, 224 tackles, 67 of those tackles for a loss, 36 tackles or 36 sacks from the interior defensive tackle position. Quite impressive. Not to mention, oh, by the way, 8 forced fumbles and 10 blocked kicks. Joe, I mean, I don't know if you have any other players to add to this, but PJ Hall from Sam Houston State is my FCS Defensive Player of the Year, and the season hasn't even begun yet.
I like that. I don't think I got any players that'll match that production. Those stats are crazy, and I love it that he gained 25 pounds, because that was my criticism. It's like, man, I'd like to see him a little bit closer to 300. Well, heck, now he's over 300, so we'll see how he moves with that weight, but I doubt the production's going to change. That kid, he's getting it done and finding the football, that's for sure. I'm just doing a little digging last night. The Eastern Washington tackle is a kid I like. I'm going to try here. JT Tiuli? Yes, JT Tiuli. Big 6'4", 315-pound kid that is impossible to block on the inside at times. I don't know that he's been playing nose. I kind of like him in the even throw at tackle. And just another guy, he's forcing double teams every game I watch. Real nice rip moves. And what impresses me so much, he carries that 315 well. The guy just doesn't look fat or sloppy. He's just a big, well-proportioned, thick kid. And boy, is he tough on the inside, because there's not a lot of, you know, Chubb. There's not a lot of, you know, Jersey to grab. I mean, you almost cannot cheat on JT. So, yeah, checking out Eastern Washington. He's a big impact player on the in the middle. And then the Bucknell kid, Abdullah Anderson, I kind of like his effort. And he's another kid. If you've got any kind of basketball in your background, I'm always giving you a one-up. At Bucknell, he's all-conference 2 years, really dominates his space well. And I think he's another guy, takes it up a notch on third down. When it's time to rush the passer and chase down that quarterback, he goes and gets it, real athletic, and chases plays down from behind. Abdullah Anderson, Bucknell, I guess he's another reason. I'm trying to get us a Philly guy to go chase these players down on the East Coast. We may have to get a Bucknell visit in on Mr. Anderson.
Hey, Philly, Ivy League, it's all good. That's what we do here at the NFL Draft Bible. Of course, that's Joe Everett. That's what he does. He makes you Google. If he makes me Google, I know you're at home Googling. So he never leaves the stone unturned. And, you know, we had a lot of fun at the College Gridiron Showcase last year scouting these defensive linemen, Joe. We haven't had a chance to discuss them. But last point before we wrap it all up, you know, we mentioned Chris Odom with the Falcons, our College Gridiron Showcase defensive MVP. Shakir Soto's in camp with the Broncos. He played last night, his season debut. Corey Vereen over in the Patriots camp. Maybe my favorite prospect of the week, Rashawn Coward out of Old Dominion. He's there with the Chicago Bears. Casey Sales with the Rams. Adam Butler with the Patriots. Andre Pipkins, who Justin Gamble thought was possibly the best player in the entire showcase, over there with the Redskins, of course, forced out of Michigan with the knee issues, come back bigger, stronger than ever. But you heard me rattle off those names from this past year, CGS. Give me one or two guys here you think can make a little bit of noise this year.
Well, more than anything, just for the effort he showed, the quality of person he is, and the coaching program he comes out of, that's Casey Sales. from Ohio, and with the Rams, it's awful crowded in there, and they're running a scheme now. It's an odd front, which they didn't do it for the Bobcats under Solich. They run the more even, but hey, this is Wade Phillips over there, who is a defensive guru, and he's going to recognize quality in a player. I'm hoping Sales really sticks over there because the Rams could get that defense going in just the right direction. That's what Wade Phillips does. He fixes defenses up. So hopefully Sales could be a big part of that because all week long he just kept showing up, great attitude, and even at the final day, I mean, he's playing all the snaps. He's talking to, he just didn't even want to leave the field. So that's a kid that loves ball, and you want to give those types of people chances.
Yeah, a big boy, someone who got better every day, really took well to the coaching. And like you said, by the last day there, he looked like an SEC guy standing over there next to some of those guys. So that about does it, Joe. Any parting shots here? Like I said, Justin and myself, we're going to break down some linebackers on Monday, and then we're going to try to do a defensive back show here before the college football season kicks off. But any final words for the good people out there?
Looking forward to Addison already. I'll have to research this hotel, get my bearings out there, get some good stuff. And yeah, I'm jealous you guys get to do the linebackers on Monday, so enjoy the Micah Kaiser Syracuse show. We'll get to him next time.
Yeah, lock and load those directions in the GPS, get that new hotel address, and I know you'll be making the journey there from Indianapolis, Joe. And always fun talking football. Of course, we'll be back Monday with the show, like I said. And we'll be talking football. I'm going to make an announcement right now. We have not put this out there yet, but if you're in the New Jersey area, if you live in northern New Jersey, the New York City tri-state area, we'll be at Sidelines Bar and Grill every Monday night for Monday Night Football, breaking it down with the pregame show. We'll have current and former NFL players each and every Monday night. We're going to kick it off 7 p.m. each week, except for the first Monday night, which is September 11th. There's two games, so we'll be kicking off at 6 p.m., and you can expect to see and hear from guests such as Plaxico Burress, Marvin Washington, Rodney Hampton, just to name a few. We'll get some good players throughout the course of the season. So Sidelines Bar and Grill. It's in Fairfield, New Jersey, Route 46. Of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors who help support the show. ISO Sport, new to the program. Defiance Fuel, Parabolic Performance and Rehab, College Gridiron Showcase. And there will be more to follow, but a lot of exciting things going on. NFLDraftBible.com has you covered. Of course, the social media universe at NFLDraftBible. If you want to nominate a player for this great event, the College Gridiron Showcase and Symposium, it's not too late. CGSAllStar.com is where you can do that. And, of course, we'll be back at it again Monday at noon Eastern with another brand-new show. Of course, tomorrow we'll be at Monmouth University with some FCS action. Mike Basile, there's a name for the defensive back show. Mike Basile, we'll be getting low down on him. The scouting never ends. For Joe Everett, the director of college football scouting at the NFL Draft Bible, he never leaves a stone unturned. Of course, you know who I be, RIC, in the place to be, always talking football. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in. Please click subscribe, share, spread the word of the good gospel, the NFL Draft Bible. It's what we do, baby.
Back at it again. It's another edition of the College Gridiron Showcase Watch List Show. Tracking the top NFL draft prospects on the planet each and every week, brought to you by the NFL Draft Bible, broadcasting around the globe with your hosts, Joe Everett, Justin Gamble, and me, the RIC, Rick Saratella. We are on air.